Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
The people in this Midland church have a lot of similarities with those people around the pool at Bethesda. So why don't you open the Bible and let's begin with John 5:1. John 5:1. This is a story where Jesus was going to Jerusalem because it was a time for what? Do you remember? There were festivals going on. It was the Feast of the Jews. They had a lot of great feast days and celebrations, and there was a lot of excitement. And everybody was excited, but no one would be excited to go to the Pool of Bethesda. So in John 5:1, we read, "Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals." By the way, when there's festivals, what are some festivals they have in Midland? Any festivals? Depends on what church I'm in. There's potato festivals. Do you have a Christmas parade festival? River Days. Okay. Is it a happy time of year? Are you excited when there's festivals? Is Christmas a happy time of year? It was a time for Jewish festivals. Do you really want to dwell on all the bad things going on in your life at festival time? People were probably walking down the streets happy. There weren't any cars, so you can hear them, what, laughing and talking and singing and being jovial. And in this city, many people had come even from outside the city limits to celebrate the Jewish festivals. Holiday or not, though, Jesus is at 911, isn't he? 24/7. He's ready and he's on call. Verse 2. "Now there is in Jerusalem near the sheep gate." What's a sheep gate, by the way? Anybody? What's a sheep gate? What do you think comes through the gate? What do sheep say? Okay, I want to make sure we're with each other. There was a sheep gate because that was an area that the sheep entered to go into the temple. So there was near the sheep gate a pool named Bethesda. By the way, how do sheep smell when they're in big groups? It's not very smelly. I mean, not very nice. It smells. So the Bethesda pool not only had sick and suffering around it, it also had the smell of sheep. It wouldn't be a place that you would want to go. Sometimes we don't want to go to nursing homes, am I right? We don't like the smell. It is not a place we always want to go. The Pool of Bethesda had to be very offensive. By the way, archaeologists have discovered the remains of the pool, and it exactly matches what is shown in John's Gospel. If you want to, when you go home today, you can Google it or look up on your internet your favorite place, and look at the historical accuracy. They found this pool. So let's go to John 5:3. "Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed." Does it say anything about hospital beds and the smell of alcohol? Does it say anything about nurses attending people and walking around in their uniforms with their trays offering ice water? No. I would know all that because I've had quite a Christmas myself. Okay. In fact, they told me I had to wear this and it made me scared because it reminds me of all the tubes I had in me over Christmas. Okay. It says, "You can imagine the area smelled of animals and sickness, and it was a cesspool of human suffering." You ever felt like you're in a cesspool of human suffering? Have you ever heard about human suffering? Have you ever had human suffering? Anyone that you love had some suffering? Near that pool, if you would stand around that pool, you could imagine the kinds of sounds that you had. Now, I had a grandmother, and she loved to whine. So when she was sick, we would hear her from her back bedroom. Oh! Now I have to ask my mother all the time, are you okay? I am. I'm fine. She won't complain because she doesn't want to sound like her mother. But you can imagine around that pool, the sickest of the area was around there, and the sounds must be terrible. Healthy people didn't go to the pool of Bethesda. In fact, what a lot of people did is they took their relatives and they would dump them by the pool and then they'd go to the festivities because, you know, there might be a chance that they could get better. The disciples did not want to go to the pool. You ever felt you don't want to go visit the sick? You don't want to go see what's going on? You don't want to know what's happening with them? It's nerve-wracking. Here's what they thought was going on at the pool. So in John 5:4, at certain times, an angel of the Lord would go into the pool. What went into the pool? That's what they believed. And it would stir up the water. And whoever stepped in it first after the stirring of the water was healed of whatever disease he had. Really? Really? You think so? Isn't that interesting? Archaeologists found out when they found the Bethesda pool that underneath there are these little springs, and that's what was stirring up the pool. In fact, there are documents that they have looked at, and they've never seen that anyone was ever saved or healed at the pool of Bethesda. But we are going to talk about one man that was, and it wasn't because he got to the pool first. People waited in vain for healing, thinking they had to be the first person in the pool. Have you ever thought that if I do this, 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 and this, then I'm going to get to heaven? Or if I do this, 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 and this, I'm going to get well? And if I don't do this, this, and this, then I probably won't have any of these blessings whatsoever. Have you ever thought that? You can imagine how many people died at that pool. How many people do you think if it wasn't healing anybody? Almost everybody who went probably died unless they healed of something from something naturally. So what else did that pool represent? Death, suffering. You think there were smells and ulcers on legs and people without bathroom facilities? It said there were these big areas and there were all these people and they laid there. Do you think that was a distorted view of God to think that you had to do this, this, and this before God would have mercy on you and let you go? What about if you were well enough and fast enough and you got to the pool first, then God would heal you? You ever thought about that? That is really unfair, isn't it? And unkind. Another distorted vision. It would seem that God was very unfair to those who were the sickest. Does God love people who are sick? Praise the Lord, right? They did not know about the invitation that says, whosoever will. God has no prejudice against any people. He loves them all. And Jesus came to the pool, and he looked over the pool, and he picked the cleanest woman with the nicest hairdo, and he worked with her. Is that right? What did he do? It says that he looked over the pool and he saw all the people and he picked the sickest person. I know he loves me because he can pick the sickest person. You know, I suspect that Jesus, who has this big heart, who loves everybody, saw all those people at the pool. I see all of you here in the audience. There isn't anyone I'd want to pick and say, I'm going to only, you know, make sure that you're okay, but nobody else. Like Jesus had this heart that was open to everyone. But he couldn't cut his work short by healing everybody because he would have brought so much attention to what he was doing. And even though he had all the healing powers and all the power to do everything, his hands were tied because of what his mission was on earth. John 5:5, one who was there, are you looking at it? Had been an invalid for how many years? That's a long time. 38 years. You ever been sick for a week? Do you think that you were dying? You ever had the flu? Do you think you were dying? Then you were afraid you weren't going to die? Christmas Eve, I had a nice big party. I fed all these people. We were so excited because we're going to go to Opryland, USA with our kids, and we're going to leave at 4 in the morning. So I said goodbye to all my guests at like 9 or whatever. And they were all excited for me, but at 3 o'clock, I thought I got the flu. I didn't. I had pancreatitis. That landed me in the ER, and then they found out I had a gallbladder that was full of stones, and so I got to have that removed, and that's a really bad way to lose weight. You know, there's a lot easier ways, I found out. And it was just a really hard time. The surgery was hard. And my husband and I, we thought, well, you know, we have a vacation planned. The doctors are like, you know, you are really sick. I don't know if you should go. I'm like, I'm just going to sit around and relax by the pool, right? So that was Tuesday we came home, and I went right from the airport to home where I cleaned up and went right to the ER because I got that Mexican Montezuma's revenge, whatever, that wanted to kill me again. Do you ever feel like something's out to get you? This man felt like something was out to get him. He had been sitting there for 38 years. Do you think that you get discouraged when it goes on for another week and another week? And 38 years, that's a long time. A long time. John 5:6, when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, do you see, he had pity on his heart. He was there a long time. Must have been really discouraged. Jesus asked him, do you want to get well? Now, do you think that's a crazy question? Do you think that's a crazy question? Because do you ever have to sign a consent to treat somebody? Do you ever know, I mean, if you want to give Bible studies, don't you need to ask them first if they'd like them? Like, do you ever make decisions for people's lives? That man had a choice about whether he wanted to get well. And you go, well, of course he wanted to get well. Have you ever seen people who the sickness becomes them? You know what an organ recital is? Sometimes it's we recite how our organs are doing. Yeah, the pastor's welcoming everybody. And, you know, and then I had this toothache, and then it led to my big toe getting swollen. And, you know, we just, sometimes it becomes us. But we need to give off those sick things, and we need to move forward with God. And Jesus asked him to get if he wanted to get well, because Jesus doesn't force himself on anybody. You ever had somebody try to force their literature on you or tell you you need to give your heart to the Lord even though you're a Christian? Like, you see people who push people, and that's really frustrating. But Jesus was careful and kind. How frustrating for this man to think that he was not well enough, that he couldn't get to the pool. It was evident that he had no family to help him get to the pool, and he felt that he had to compete against everybody there to get into that pool first. That must have been a terribly discouraging time for him. Could the people around the pool represent the Midland Church? Was it only those people that are sick, or are we sick? Are we all sinners? Anybody here not a sinner? I heard about a church where the pastor was filling out his tithe envelope, and somebody was speaking for the offertory and said, you know, we're all sinners. Is there anybody amongst us perfect? And the pastor was doing his tithe envelope, and he went up and he said, well, I guess there's one of us here. Yeah. Are you sick? Are you blind? If you aren't reading the word, are you blind? Can you be blinded by things because you don't have God, his power in your life? What about deaf? Have you not listened to the word, and you haven't considered the word, and you haven't eaten the word? Like, you can be deaf. What about crippled because you're not walking with Jesus? I thought it was those people, not us, right? It's those people. It's the outsiders. It's the heathens. It's the other people. It's the nons, you know, like, yeah. We're all in great need of Jesus, aren't we? He's a great physician. Some of us say, well, you know, we were baptized. You get a Jehovah Witness to your door and you go, well, I already know everything and I've been baptized, right? You know, The truth is that every day we better be growing, because we can't base our experience on last year or when we were baptized. We need to be doing it every day. I went to a famous event in Grand Rapids. I'm sorry, famous chef. It was a vegan chef, and I was there. And this lady is in the line, and she's telling me I have to buy her goji juice. If I don't buy her goji juice, that, you know, all kinds of health problems are going to come to me. You ever? How many of you remember Dane Griffin? He was a wonderful person, wasn't he? Wonderful. He walked with the Lord, and yet he still died of cancer. You know that people said to him, oh, is your old life catching up with you? Or are you sure that you haven't asked for forgiveness for all of your sins? Wow. I just think that we can become judges rather than lovers of people. And we need to be very careful when it comes to health, do we not? In my eyes, Dane was doing everything. Vicki and Dane and I, my husband, we would get together at 6 in the morning. We'd pray for our kids. We'd pray for our church and our school. We had a real bond. And he was a man of prayer and he was a man of study. And I just think it was so sad that he had some discouragement with some of the things people said to him. And they said those things to his wife too. We are not judges. God knows everything. And even the very best die, right? Is it true that only by Christ we're healed? So it's not goji juice or shark cartilage or coffee something or whatever. Like we don't, or a certain vitamin. Like if the Lord wills us to live, he wills us to live. But there, he will lead us to something if he wants us to go that way. Would that be true? We need to be forgetting that, I mean, we need to cast it out of our mind that there's magical powers in all kinds of things that people sell. There is no magic bullet on this earth. What happens when we're not listening to the voice of God? Are we deaf? We need to be listening to the voice of God. Do you hear the voice of God? If you are impressed and you hear the voice of God, you know that you're walking with him. Because he can impress us through the scriptures about all kinds of things in our life. And the scriptures are the ones that he will always go in line with. Let's read Lamentations 3:51. This is about when we take our eyes off of God. I'm only saying a part of this. Lamentations 3:51 says, mine eye has affected my heart. By the way, can your eyes, what you see, impact your heart? Can you look at certain pictures or certain programs and it impacts your heart and your spirituality? And it says, because of all the daughters of my city, yes, we need to recognize that our senses also impact our insides. Further, we read in Luke 11:34, your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are good, your whole body is full of light. Watch what you see, right? But when they are bad, your body is full of darkness. Why wouldn't the devil want us to focus on other people's problems instead of our own? When you live a stressful life, can you act stressful? Can it impact your body when you have a stressful life? How many of you have had some stress in your life? Okay. My husband, he's got this highly sensitive part of him. Have you ever heard of melancholy? Very tender, very sensitive. And he got a call, a crisis call from one of our friends, and they were having a big family problem, and that shocked him. So he jumped in his car. He was going to go over right away and take care of things. Probably he should have knelt by his chair and asked the Lord to help him, and so the Lord could have helped him remember that he was supposed to fill up his car before he went to the next place. So he jumped in his car, and he ran out of gas on the freeway. Now, I'm a counselor. I'm talking to a couple, and I start getting phone calls like you can't believe on my cell phone. Florida, Hawaii, Maine, Indiana, quite a few from Michigan. You know, I'm getting nervous. I'm thinking I've got a big problem going on at home. When the couple left, I opened the phone, and all these messages are telling me my husband is on the freeway with no gas, but they don't say where he's at because my husband left his phone at home, but he had his iPad, so he went on Facebook, so he made an announcement on Facebook that he needed to have his wife come help him. And so all these people across the country started calling me, but of course they didn't know where he was at. So I leave my next couple, and I go out there, and I'm out driving the freeways without any phone, without him in the phone, and I don't see anything. And I finally get home, and he gets to the people's house that he was supposed to go to originally, because he gets to their phone to tell me that so many people saw the Facebook things, that other people were out on the freeways looking for him, and that he had four rescuers within 20 minutes. So can you get a little bit crazy when you're stressed? Life can be stressful, right? But we need God to help us put it into perspective so that we do the right thing. If churches are like the Pool of Bethesda, where should sick people go? To church. What happens when those who don't think they're sick see a sick person? They get out their little Christian guns. Boom, 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 right? Our churches are to be incubators or clinics or hospitals, not judges, not trials, not... Yes, we need to be feeling healing. Some people make excuses about not going to church because of sick people there. Can you believe that? Really? What a surprise. Sick people amongst us? They're our brothers and sisters, aren't they? They may be, if you did from 0 to 10, they might be a 10 and you might be a 1, but we're all sick, aren't we? And we're all sinners? Does God love murderers any better than he loves gossipers? God is no respecter of persons, is he? I've been told that I have a gift of gab. Boy, can that be a disease. What kind of a gift is it when your mouth says things that you didn't mean to say? Or you can put your foot in your mouth and then you have to dry it off, put the other one in. Have you ever tried to get both of them in at the same time? One time on Sabbath, I was really irritated with my daughter. She had put all this stuff down the stairs. I don't know, she had this trail. And I'm the pastor's wife, and it was Kalamazoo, and I saw the people coming across the parking lot. We were in the parsonage, you know. They were on their way to my house. And when I turned around, all her stuffed animals and her dolls were all up and down the steps. I'm like, I don't remember that happening this morning before we left the church. So I said to her, now I was not a yelling mother, but I said it in a tone. You ever have a tone? I'm sure none of you are yelling mothers or yelling fathers. I mean, you can just do it with your eyes, right? Right? And I said to her, Kristen, you need to get all the stuff picked up and in your room, I don't care where you put it, under your bed or whatever, but get it done now and do it fast. And she started to go up the stairs and then she stopped. Boy, they're not going to be glad that they gave me this walking mic because I'm walking all over now. She said, you know, everybody likes you and they think you're nice, but I know that you're not nice all the time. So everybody thinks you're nice at church. What do they think about you at home? When are we going to stop shooting the wounded? If we're wounded, when are we going to stop letting them shoot at us? Or when are we going to stop being so hurt because they're acting like hurt people? Well, let's go back to the Pool of Bethesda. People outside the pool thought that the folks at the pool deserved to be there because they were sick. And sick people in that time were considered what? Sinners. So they avoided the pool and they went to the festival. Would you ever rather do something fun than something that's work? Why do the dishes when you can eat the food, right? Or why do the laundry when you have new clothes in the closet? Like, we often avoid the yucky stuff to do the good stuff, right? Why clean the house when you have a video game? Like, we love to do what we want to do. So the people avoided the pool. And when we take our eyes off of Christ, that's when we get really legalistic about the health message, about the church manual, about the rules, or we call the conference office, about the pastor. Like, we get really focused on, that's not right, You ever do that? Us little choleric personalities, this is right and this isn't. Yeah. We like to blame the sick. It seems to be survival of the fittest. But shouldn't it be about God and his forgiveness? Shouldn't it be about mentoring and encouraging, supporting, praying for? Why would we even talk to somebody if we haven't prayed about it? Some people appear stronger and more powerful, smarter and wiser. See, my daughter thought that at church, but she didn't think about that at home. You know, when you're superior, are you able to really minister to people out in the community? What about if you're real? Is that a nice thing to be? I'm not talking about wear all your dirt on your sleeve and tell everybody all your problems, but you just use it in a way to help people know that you see yourself in a humble way as well. There are people who don't feel they can come to church because we're clubs for the 144,000. You know what that is, right? Acts 10:34. Just taking a piece of it again. Then Peter began to speak and he said, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism. Shouldn't we strive to be like Jesus? Yeah. Kim Peckham, I don't know if you've heard of him. He had a review column at one time in the Edmunds Review. And I thought this was really good because I could relate. That's really bad, isn't it? So here's what he said. He said, why is it we come so naturally by when it comes to judging? He said he was thinking of starting a judging ministry because he was so good at it. He could be real about it. And he bet he knows that he could use a lot more members and that there were many people who would love to be in his group. He said judging is a service that we can provide when we're church members. We can do it without any charge and without any real big cost to ourselves. In fact, it might make us even look better than them. He says we don't even need to meet people by face. All we have to do is just wait for somebody to tell us about someone, and without clarifying or finding out more details, instead what we do is we just know in our minds that they're bad. We already know their kind, right? He said, if you heard from somebody else's perspective, that's good enough for him, don't you think? Especially when somebody gets their facts mixed up, you should, you know, clarify their facts and or make light of their points if they weren't right. And he said, if you find a mistake, make a big deal about it. Don't just let it go or whatever. Just like make a big deal. Remember that commercial? Make a federal case of it. And he said, one of the things about judging is it helps us to forget our own problems. How many of us are sick? I'd like to hear that again. How many of you are sick? Isn't it wonderful to know you have a Savior that wants to heal you? Romans 12:6 says, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, which is arrogant, think that you're better than them, but associate with the lowly. Never be, are you ready? Never be wise in your own sight. As soon as you think you got it together, watch out. Have you ever done something negative? Like, we just came through the holidays. Any of you eat too much for the holiday meals? Okay, you don't have to admit it. I'm not confession here. How many of you skipped your exercise because you were too busy? Any of you ever pulled an overnighter because you were so busy with paperwork or homework or anything? What does it say about the wages of sin? It says it's death. If you are all sinning every day, why aren't you dead? Because God has excused you. He is wanting you to make sure that you make it right with him. But God has not killed you because you are sinners. If we got what we were deserving, we would all be dead, wouldn't we? So Jesus chose this very sick man who was lame at the pool. For how many years? He could have been born that way, and he could have been abandoned that way as a child. We don't know if he was 38 years old. Who knows? It doesn't matter. By the way, he was probably a senior, I would assume. But it doesn't matter where you are, if you're in the Midland Church, or if you're in the city of Midland, if you're in a mall. When Jesus looks over the crowd, he knows who you are, and he wants to heal you. No matter whether you're angry or irritated or hurt or what pain you have, the Lord wants to heal you. He planned your life in the womb, didn't he? He knows your name. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knew all about you before you were born, and he knows where you're going to go when you're done. And we all want to go to the same place, don't we? I hope. You ever heard that song? I hear it in my head as I talk about this part. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Jesus had to ask the man, would you like to get well? Because some people really don't want to get well. Some martyrs really enjoy their problems. John 5:7. Hopefully you still have your finger there. The sick man answered him. Who's him? Jesus. Sir, I have no man. Boy, if we cut that off, how many of us have said that? How many of us women have said that? Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. Here he is telling this man all of his woes. This is the creator of the universe, the person who probably put him together, and he's telling him all about these limitations. Jesus didn't need to know that. He knew all about what they were expecting. Like, he knows all the issues. We don't even have to tell him about it. He's already got an idea of what he needs to do. How many days he'd been waiting, how many people were waiting. He was utterly helpless. You'd expect him to complain, wouldn't you? 38 years. But here's the great physician. And Jesus could have said, you just don't get it, do you? You ever done that to people? Or what is it, that steepling when you're behind the desk and you act like you're better than others? Well, I don't know if we can help you with that. Jesus didn't do that, did he? Jesus didn't lecture to him. He didn't ask him what he believed. He said, don't you know who I am? And lovingly, John 5:8, Jesus said, get up out of your bed and walk. It's amazing, isn't it? Romans 5:6 from the NIV says, you see, at the right time, when we are still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for this, but when we were still sinners, he died for us. You mean they didn't get cleaned up first? They didn't get rid of all their sins first and then go to Jesus? While they were still sinners and still dirty, God died for them, and he wanted to help them. This man with withered legs, remember, he hadn't walked on them. Like, what's the chances of walking on legs? I have a mother that's been reacting to a surgery this week. That's been our other little crisis, an eye surgery. Her legs weren't working after the anesthetic, and it's hard to hold your weight. This man hadn't walked for 38 years, we believe, and he got up. Emotionally discouraged, yes, but he did what Jesus told him, and his faith was rewarded. Do you have faith that Jesus will help you, that he'll solve your problems, that he'll work with you, that he'll support you? Will you be faithful to him and his commands? Will you do things even though you don't feel like it, even though you're discouraged, even though you can't understand why this happened, and you wonder, why does it happen to me? Pray that Jesus is changing your heart because you're sick and you're sinful. And let us remember, there's always a way out when we have a physician in the family. He's our Heavenly Father. We need to stand up for him, even if we don't want to, even if we're sore and tired and worn out and discouraged. We need to stand up and leave our beds of spiritual pain, and we need to move forward because Jesus wants to take us someplace other than all of our problems. We need to dedicate our mouths to him so that our words are kind and encouraging to those around us. We need to dedicate our eyes so we can see the mission of what he wants to accomplish in our life. Maybe there's nothing we can be accomplishing, but we could be praying for others and we aren't spending that time. Instead, we're obsessing about things that bother us. Should we complain about our past? Does that get us anywhere? Especially when we're forgiven? How much do you want to go back there? God wants to heal you and he wants to give you a future. What does he want to do? He wants to give me a future. He wants to give you a future. Should you put your faith in people? Where do we put our faith? God will never disappoint you. People will always disappoint you. It's normal in this world of sin. Don't point your finger at other people, because that tries to take your impression off your own self. And when God tells you to stand up, you should obey, right? You should take up your mat, and what should you do? Follow Him. He wants to heal you, and He wants to heal you today. Every day is a new day to be healed. This same Jesus that healed the man at the pool of Bethesda can heal your heart today. I don't know what's going on in your heart. All of us have something going on in our heart. I didn't see all of you coming forward to prayer today, but I bet that many of you were praying for someone. Many of us are worried about our kids, worried about our relatives, worried about our work. We just need to recognize that God is in control and He will help us. Don't remain seated. So if you are a sinner in need of Christ, can you say, I'm in need of healing? Jesus will heal you. I know that because that's what the Bible says. He wants to come to your heart today.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you're a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.